Howdy neighbors, Ron Hayes, Beef Buzzing with you today with Hannah Thompson Weeman. We're talking about the anti-animal agriculture mindset in just a moment.
The founder of Go Bob Pipe and Steel, Bob Studebaker, recently said,
"The most common question I get asked is, Bob, you sell several different lengths of trailer. How many bales will a 32-foot hold? How many will a 36? How many will a 40 hold?" Typically, I teach my people that we're doing that question asking because we want to know how heavy their bales are, what it is that they're baling, how many a year do they bale, how far do they have to haul it? Because I got more than one type of trailer. Red Rhino is the top of the line. And inline hay trailers, but maybe they don't need that. I'm not going to sell them more than they need. Now, a lot of people look at the difference in price, and most of the time they go ahead and buy the Red Rhino because there's not that big a price difference. The quality or the heaviness is there. Plus, their resale value is typically you buy a Red Rhino, you own it 3 years. By the third year, you can get all your money out of it.
To see your new trailer, go to GoBob Radio, GoBobRadio.com.
It's a brand new year, but the challenges are very much the same when you deal with folks who hate animal agriculture in this country. So says Hannah Thompson Weeman with the Animal Agriculture Alliance.
Yes, absolutely. The tactics that we see to just end animal agriculture, which really is the ultimate goal of all of these animal rights organizations that the Alliance has spent 30 years tracking, they always find new ways to push that goal and to find ways to make food more expensive, drive up cost to consumers. But really, their ultimate objective, which is putting farmers and ranchers out of business, hasn't changed. They've gotten savvier and savvier over the years, which makes it a challenge for us to get out ahead of their messaging. But that's what the Alliance is here to do. It's actually our 30th anniversary in 2017.
One thing that happened in the latter part of 2016 that animal agriculture will be dealing with for years to come, the vote in Massachusetts.
It's just an unfortunate reality that our general consumer is very disconnected from what we do in animal agriculture. They haven't seen it. They haven't been exposed to it when there's such a slim percentage of the population that is actively engaged on a daily basis in farming and ranching. So unfortunately, they're very susceptible to myths and misinformation being spread by groups in this Massachusetts example like HSUS. They found a place where there isn't a very large, definitely not a commercial large-scale agriculture industry there in Massachusetts. They got language on the ballot that was very generic and would be hard for someone to disagree with if they didn't know what it was actually saying. So unfortunately, it should be a big red flag for us in the industry to know that they're going to continue to do this, and we have to find new, innovative ways to amp up our volume and how we're communicating with consumers. And I think one thing that happened in Massachusetts that will be a positive for us moving forward is the connections that were made with the anti-poverty community. That's a huge source of people who have a vested interest in these same issues that we're talking about, because what they're trying to do is raise the cost of food. They want to make it less efficient to force farmers to put up new barns, new equipment. We know not all farmers are going to be able to afford to do that. It also makes their production costs go up, makes them able to produce less. With supply and demand, if you have less of a supply, the cost is going to go up. So we found a really strong advocate in the anti-poverty community who they care just as much as we do about making sure that people have access to safe, affordable food. And animal protein, you know, eggs specifically, in this Massachusetts example, are an excellent source, a low-cost source of protein. So driving the cost up for that is going to have a huge impact on low-income people who are already making tough choices. So I think the lesson we learned in Massachusetts of the strength in that partnership will hopefully foster more dialogue moving forward of how we can find alternative audiences who could work with us on this and speak about it from a different angle.
I guess what if we see this type of an initiative come up at another state here in the next year or so, that gives us maybe a leg up on how we actually deal with it and put money toward a responsible opposition.
Exactly. And the responsible opposition is really key, because what happened here in Massachusetts is a lot of producer organizations were very shy about putting a lot of money into this because of what happened in California. In the California Prop 2 battle, the industry put in millions and millions and millions of dollars and still ended up losing that vote. So the industry was very wary of doing that again here in Massachusetts. But I think if we can find strategic ways to not spend a lot of money but still reach the right people and have a stronger, more strategic and unified message earlier in the dialogue, we can hopefully be successful in combating these things moving forward.
Hannah Thompson Weeman, you've got the Beef Buzz on Ron.
Don't know where to start with no-till? Want to make more confident decisions? Well, learn from experienced producers and soil health experts at the Beginning No-Till Producers Workshop, Monday, January 23rd in Salina, Kansas. Get tips on crop residues, rotations, equipment, livestock integration, cover crops, soil testing, and fertility. Registration is $100, sponsored by Arrow Seed. Then stay for the 21st annual No-Till on the Plains Winter Conference, January 24th and 25th. Register at notill.org.
That's your Beef Buzz. I'm Ron Hayes reporting.